And what are the major targets for human diseases related to redox chemistry?
Yeah, redox chemistry. Well, you know what? This is an important, very important. This is the most crucial one, actually, because while we know everything about, I mean, everything, a lot about the, I mean, these gaseous transmitters, I mean, they are three molecules, whereas the redox chemistry is an overall chemistry. Is it a really wide chemistry that includes antioxidants, for instance? No, the meeting is on antioxidant, but includes also the prooxidant. And, you know, this is the real frontier of our meeting, because, you know, since over, let's say that over the last 20 years, or almost 20, even more actually, over the 20 years, we've been talking about preventing oxidation. You know what I mean with oxidation? So, I mean, just for a few words, whenever you say that the molecule is oxidized, a molecule oxidized is losing, actually, partly, I mean, some electrons, let's say. So electrons are getting out, are withdrawal by from, actually, the molecule. And, of course, electrons cannot just go around. They are accepted to some other molecules. So whenever you are taking electrons from, let's say, A, this is now A, I mean, this electron is entering into B, let's say, which is reduced. So whenever we have an oxidation, we have a reduction as well going together. Electrons are moving. So we said antioxidant or antioxidant, I mean, the way you want to say, means that you are trying to keep electrons in one place, in one molecule, which means that you have to take electrons from another place and feed electrons to the molecule that you want to preserve, isn't it? So antioxidants are those, all those compounds, and all those drugs eventually, we hope, that are able to, you know, to release electrons, so to prevent from oxidation, so from losing of electrons, of molecules which otherwise would not work. You know what I mean with would not work? I mean that it is true that, let's say, evolution has developed, of course, did things very well, actually, as a matter of fact, but I mean, this is obvious. But evolution has set molecules in a way that the amount of electrons, let's say, included per molecule is ideal, so to speak. And so whenever, with aging, for instance, with disease, cancer, you know, we can make a list, it's a long list of conditions where our molecules, now I'm talking about, you know, our, you know, favorite molecules like DNA molecules, like proteins, like enzymes, like cell membrane proteins and these kind of things, or the cell membranes per se. So all these molecules, whenever they lose electrons, so they for disease conditions, for aging conditions, sort of disease, so to speak, then we need to have a reservoir of electrons to be fed in back. And this is that now, so let's go back to the beginning, when I said the antioxidant, the antioxidants, these are, you know, these have been actually the major goal of our biochemistry and physiology and pharmacology. But now we've been realizing it. And when I'm saying now, I'm saying these days, I'm saying, you know, the new publication said, you know, we people involved in this redox chemistry is coming out saying it's not a problem of antioxidant. It's a problem of redox balance, which has to be correct. So it's the correct equilibrium between electron fed in and withdrawal out that is the real problem that we are facing, we have to face. And you know, we're doing this correctly in good health, so to speak, because in good health, everything works perfectly. You know, it's not a problem. Whenever we're having, for instance, there are many instances indeed, but I mean, this balance can change towards or can, can change towards more oxidation or more reduction. Both actually are not good for us. And this was not true a couple of years ago. I mean, three perhaps. They're around. People would say, oh, the problem is the oxidation. Well, it's not true now. We have to discuss. That's the way of saying this. We have to discuss whether it's only oxidation that is a problem, but also, excess reduction might well be a problem. I can give an example. I mean, the example is, for instance, cancer therapy. Because in cancer therapy, for instance, then we definitely have to look at this balance, because some of the drugs are working very well if there is a good balance between reducing and oxidative power. And these, is a parameter that's to be looked after, let's say.
The major guidelines in science about antioxidants, could you please tell us about them?
Yeah, antioxidants, right. So, of course, let's say that as far as antioxidants, we have to think about having at least two major containers, let's say, of antioxidants. First container is absolutely natural. It's nature. So most antioxidants that we are, entering in our bodies, are coming from food. And we have so many food antioxidant donors, let's say, in what we are eating most of the time. I would say all of us. You know what? Whenever you see a color, so whenever you see something that has a color, you're watching from the chemical point of view, of course, you're watching something which is either, a polyphenol or an anthocyanin. I don't know whether the pronunciation is correct in English, or American, but I mean anthocyanins, or flavonoid. This kind of compounds, they all have exert a very good anti-radical property. They do have it. And of course, they are also antioxidants, so to speak. So they are electron donor. But you know what? I have to tell you, because I'm talking to biochemists, I realized that whenever you have a substance that is able to donate electrons, is also able to accept electrons, it would depend on the midpoint potential, of the compound that you're looking at. And therefore, this means what I said. This means that there will be a level for a redox level for all these substances, a level of reduction oxidation where they can act in, say, on both directions. Of course, there will be a major direction in our body, because in our body, we know that the midpoint potential, we know the midpoint potential ourselves. And can be different, as a matter of fact. But I mean, let's go back to antioxidants, sorry. So natural and artificial. As I said, we can even follow a kind of color code, so to speak, of these substances. Whenever you see, as I said, dark violet, for instance, or blue or pink, blueberries, raspberries, or I don't know whether the pronunciation is correct now. I mean, whenever you the goji berries. Have you heard about goji berries? Yes. It's a Chinese berry that is becoming absolutely popular all over the world, and China is the major producer of this. So, I mean, fields and fields of these berries that will, you know, I mean, here in Italy, they're very, very popular now. They are also incredibly expensive, as a matter of fact. This is a very good business for these people. And these berries, for instance, they do contain, let's put their content in antioxidant as 100, right? So we fix 100, you know, in this percentage scale. So we fix 100 their content. If you now are watching our, you know, the blueberries, the blueberries are quite, you know, quite good as antioxidants. Well, they are only 5% of that. So to say how powerful is that? And the, you know, the, I don't know whether the pomegranate, you know the pomegranate?
Yes.
Pomegranate?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know it?
Yes.
Right. So pomegranate is a very good fruit in terms of, you know, radical scavenging or antioxidant. And this, let's put it in this scale, about 30. So it's 30% of the goji berries. So this is just to say that the Chinese you know, are lucky in that, let's say. But, you know, there's so many other foods, artichokes, you know, I know, it's not counting in my mind, you know, tomatoes. You know, whenever you see color, you see cyanins, anthocyanins, sorry, you see polyphenols, and all, I mean, the tea, of course, black tea. If, I mean, green tea is well known, but also black tea, is they do contain a lot of this, anti-radicals. And then we have the second container. So the first container is the natural. The second container is the artificial one, where we've been mimicking simply, you know, chemists. What do they do? All over the world. I mean, in India, for instance, they have very good, schools where they teach and do actually, synthesis of this kind of compounds, and they're very good in doing that. So means that they are simply mimicking what is in nature, and you know, they're trying to improve it indeed, and to make pills that should be taken instead of, you know, eating myrtles or goji berries, let's say. What else can I say about that? Do you have something to ask me? To help me? No, I don't think, I mean, is that too much?
No, it's very good. In fact, I want...
Well, you know what? This is myrtle.
Uh-huh.
Watch it.
Uh-huh.
Can you see?
Yes.
I'm fine with the daily income. And then if I'm eating some tomatoes, I'm even, you know, above. Carrots, you know, the red carrots, even, you know. So they say, well, we are entering, there's so much food and so many antioxidants that there is no reason for being worried about being deprived of it. And this makes sense in one way. On the other side, people pro, you know, antioxidants, they would say, yeah, of course, but I mean, the ingestion is not just, it's not the whole process, it's just the beginning of the process. Then you have to, you know, enter this into your bloodstream and then goes into the cells. And this may take, you know, additional steps which may not work perfectly in your body. So, but this needs to be discussed. As I said, this is our frontier now. So, we have to find the balance, the good balance between reducing power and oxidative power, and we have to find, to combine this information with the income, with the daily income, these antioxidants.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. It's been really a very nice interview, and it's been a pleasure to have you in Microscopio.
All right, thank you.
All right.